So one thing I wanted to say, I see a couple new faces out there, so I just want to welcome our new people too that are here. It's so lovely that you found us, and welcome, welcome. And see Sandy, who's standing up at the back, she has some welcome packages, so if you haven't received one before, please grab one from her. And we know that walking into a new spiritual community sometimes can be a little challenging, so we're not trying to embarrass you or anything, we just want to welcome you. So as I know, it can be a little scary. I remember the first time walking in myself, it was like, oh, what's going to happen today? But it's so good, it's so good, so thank you. So we've started a new year, and for our global themes, I don't know if I'm picking up twice here, our new global theme is a grand rising. So the grand rising, I had to look it up because I hadn't really heard that term before. But it's very common in the South in Black communities where they'll say a grand rising instead of a good morning. Because they feel that the saying good morning, even though it's acknowledging the time of day, it's more about, it's too close to the sound morning, like of that we're mourning something. And I know that Sherry's a teacher in here, she probably knows exactly what that phrase is called when two words sound the same but have totally different meanings. I think it starts with an H, but I'm not even gonna try saying it. So for them, when they say a grand rising, so this is gonna be our theme throughout the whole 2024. And what it is when we say grand rising to someone, we are giving thanks for our spirit returning to our bodies and the bodies rising again. So it is about that time when we're sleeping that our bodies go and our mind goes into that unconscious realm, and that we wake back up in the morning. And then in the South, they also add, and that you're in your right mind. I like that, that you're coming back into your right mind. So they gave us a story today about how this they came up with this theme for the grand rising. I'm just trying to see where it went to today. Here it is here. So it was actually three young men who lived in a homeless shelter together. And they shared a room with other homeless people in Oklahoma. And the time they bonded them in a friendship and community and support. They were wide-eyed and optimistic, and their minds on their own understanding of the divine, of God. The three of them navigated complicated social service systems to get their basic needs met, to manage their challenges. They leaned on their spiritual practices. So they posted vision boards. I thought that was interesting, as we're doing vision boards today. They posted vision boards, they did meditation together, they walked the path together. And as they did that, they also used affirmations to keep their spirits lifted. And then one of them discovered a greeting made popular among the Black community on TikTok called a grand rising. So they explained to the shelter staff that they didn't want to begin their day with a good morning or morning every day. They wanted to experience a grand rising. So they created a large poster for their room, greeting everyone with a grand rising. And not long after that, one youth was reunited with his family. The other two set off for adventures to California. And the last the shelter staff had heard from them, they were doing really well. And so the story of these young people was what inspired this whole theme of this year of grand rising. So of course I started looking at things around, figuring out how can we move this in? And it's the start of a new year, and we like to set intentions on how we want to shift and show up through the year. And intention setting does have value every day, not just on the first of the year. So they're suggesting that instead of starting that first day of the year with a good morning, that if we do that grand rising, how would our day and the rest of our lives unfold? Simply by leaning into the beauty and the grandeur of each new day. So when we say a grand rising to someone, we're being invited to start each day with an intention to co-create a world that works for everyone. And this is led by the divine. So this month, let's rise past the way things have been, beyond circumstances, and into the new year. And work through that grand rising. So I found a quote from Ernest Holmes. And what he says is we should learn to control our thought process and bring them into line with reality. Thought should lend more and more towards an affirmative attitude of the mind than its positive and the one that is positive and stable. And above all else, towards a real unity with spirit that is already complete and perfect. And I left my science in mind. Michelle, do you mind just going in my bag and passing it to me? You can't miss it. It's the really big book. Thank you. Oh, sorry, I came and grabbed it. Oh, my cup was in there, yeah. But what I liked when I found that quote, and on the very next page, if I have it properly here, I turned it over, and what he says too on page 54 is the practice of the science of mind calls for a positive understanding of spirit and truth and a willingness to let this inner spirit guide us. A willingness to let us our spirit guide us. And it was interesting because, of course, I'm always talking to my mentor. And he'd asked me, he said, we're talking about a situation that I was dealing with. And he said, are you willing to let go of that old way of being, that old way of thinking? And I said, I'm not sure I'm ready yet. I kind of like hanging out here because, you know, that means I don't have to do any more work right now. And he said, well, okay, if you're not willing to let it go, would you be willing to be willing to let it go? And I said, okay, I think I can do that. So it's when I'm willing and I'm rising up that I'm able to be authentic and move into more of what's really going on for me. And, you know, life, and this morning I really struggled with this talk today because I've been going through a few things at home, and I think last time I shared a couple issues, and then I just had another really dear friend who has a three-year-old grandson that was just diagnosed with cancer. And I'm like, how do I get up and be inspirational with everybody when I'm dealing with this, when I'm going through these challenges in my own life? And not be all Pollyanna, oh yes, change your thinking, change your life, you can do it. But it's to realize that sometimes these challenges come through, and yet the way to get through them is through our spiritual practice, And I was also talking to my mentor, and he was saying, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. When we wake up, is this grand rising, we go back to being thankful that spirit has returned and that we are rising. And it's interesting too, we're talking about the dark time in the night, the darkest time, and that's at 3 a.m. is usually, and that's where monks will get up and pray at 3 a.m. And that is they chant and they pray for the people who will be unable to pray or won't be conscious at that time. So they pray for them at that time. And we were talking about it too. It was interesting. It's also the coldest time, just right before the sun rises. The earth, so I looked it up because I was like, really? That doesn't sound right that the earth loses its heat, but it does. I didn't know that. The reason that the lowest temperatures occur right before sunrise has to do with the solar heating and radiation. The earth and the sun both emit heat from their surfaces, and when the sun sets, we lose the heat from the sun, but the earth continues to exert its heat, but it lessens until the next morning, so just right before sunrise. So thinking of these challenges I had, I was like, okay, so maybe I'm in that place. Maybe humanity is in that place right now. We're in that dark place, that darkest just before the dawn, I mean, we all know what's happening in Gaza. The Ukraine is still happening. And children are still getting sick. And people are still unhoused. And not everybody has food. So there's all these things. So how do we, as religious scientists, how do we, as people who practice science of mind, work through this and help the world in a way? It's being aware. It's doing our own work. Because each one of us, when we do our own work, and when we're willing to be willing to do our own work, then that's when we can make a shift. That is when we can make a shift. So I was reminded of a book that a friend of mine gave me, and it was called Eating Sugar Cane, A Spiritual Journey. And this book is written by Klesina van Bemmel. And she actually was a member here at CSL White Rock. Yeah. And in her, Vanna, thanks Vanna. You can bring all six of them. Yeah. Bring all six. I know. Thanks. Oh, maybe I'll just, yeah, maybe just put them on the chair, because I'm gonna still use my Vanna in a little bit. But in her book, if you read the back of it, she was an immigrant who moved here. She had a lot of challenges throughout her life. And, you know, she had an abusive father. She was nearly beaten to death at 7. At the age of 16, she leaves her native country with a grade 7 education and travels the world. And she ends up here in Vancouver. She starts a very lucrative company. I think it was the minibuses that were first going around Stanley Park. She was one of the first people, the trolley. Thank you, Diane, the trolley. And but through all of it, she had her ups and her downs, and she found that really her work was all in regards to spiritual. And that's why she calls it eating sugar cane. So, and because she saw when she went to India, that the young children were always eating the sugar cane. And so that was why she if you read the book, that you'll see. But it's about how she used her spiritual practice to change her life, to move through those adversities, through those hard times. And that she knew that it was in the very beginning of the book, and this is what made me think of it, is I love the quote on the front, "Only love can heal the wounds of the world," by Amma. I don't know if anybody knows, she's the hugging, she does all the hugging, she comes, guru, yes, thank you, yeah. And so she followed her around and did quite a bit of work with her. But she talks about, like millions of people in the world, I've wondered for decades what my life really was about. Why do certain things happen to me and not to others? And that made me question, why are these things happening to me? Not that I want that to happen to others, but I was just, you know, and it's, do I deserve the good and the bad experiences that happen to me? Is my path shaped by karma? So when she asked those questions, I thought, yeah, it is. What can we do to change? And what came to me is, what is it exactly? Well, it's our spiritual practice. It's our meditation. It's our taking time of feeling and healing, right? When we heal something, when we reveal something, we bring it forward, that is when the healing happens. And then I was thinking too, well, what is it that we're here to do? And it is, we're discovering who we are. It's discovering who we are. And we ask, who is that exactly? And actually, Michelle Banna again, sorry, I forgot in my bag I have another book. It's called How to Use the Science of Mind. Oh, nope, not that one. I bring too many books. Is it there? There it is. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Today I forgot the owl. I said to myself, don't forget the owl, don't forget the owl. I forgot the owl. So how to use the science of mind, Ernest Holmes says, it is when we have that function of faith. I have a deep and abiding conviction that there is one divine and perfect presence in the universe, that the Spirit of Truth is everywhere, that God is right where I am. There's either neither doubt, confusion, nor fear, for I know I am rooted in the one and only perfect and divine presence. I also realize that the default law of life operates upon my word to bring about definite results in my affairs and the affairs of those whom I am thinking. I have complete confidence in the law of the divine, an unshakable trust in it, and complete reliance upon it. I know, as Jesus said, that all things are possible to God, that there is no limitation to the law of good. Therefore, in quiet confidence, in calmness and peace, and in perfect trust, I can speak my word. So, it is immersing ourselves in that divine love, and the infinite tenderness, the infinite tenderness that sustains me. So in order that I shall not separate myself from this love, I endeavor to see it in everyone I meet. And I start with myself. I start with myself. So that was a lot of things. That's a big one today. But so going forward, let's think about that when we wake up on the days ahead and we can get caught up in all the responsibilities of life, the doing. That we get busy as humans doing, but rather than that humans being. So as we move through and know that we're always at choice, we can look at the day ahead, feeling that crushedness of those responsibilities, or we can remember that our responsibility is to express ourselves as the divine beings that we are. And thankfully, we have places like centers of spiritual living to be able to do that and to show up and to practice with each other and to move through these places of being. So Thich Nhat Hanh said, spirituality is a practice that brings relief, communication, and transformation. So I want to end that we're moving into the year of the dragon. And the year of the dragon is a symbol of power, success, and luck, which is great. This means we'll have a great year ahead of us, full of opportunity and achievements. But what I think is really important in 2024 is not how much we can gain or accomplish, but how much we can give and share. Because the dragon is also a creature of generosity, wisdom, and compassion. It teaches us to be kind, humble, and grateful for what we have. It reminds us to help those in need, to protect the environment, and to respect other cultures and beliefs. I have to admit, I stole this off Facebook, okay, people? But I liked it. I'm like, yes, yes. So let's make 2024 a year of the dragon in the best sense possible. Let's spread love. Let's spread peace and joy to everyone we meet. Let's make this world a better place for ourselves and for our future generations. And that starts today. In setting our intentions, in setting that movement forward. And we can have some grand rising affirmations for ourselves. We can have abundance of energy, knowing that I am blessed, I am supported fully by the universe. I courageously move in the directions of my dreams. I choose to be happy and love myself today. I am worthy. I will not worry about the things I can't control, and today will be a great day. So thank you. So ends the lesson, and we'll just take it into prayer. Knowing today that is the day that we get to choose our intention and set forth, knowing that there is the endless possibility that awaits us. We let go of the fear, we let go of limitation, we let go of the worry, and we embrace the love. We embrace the love as only love can heal the wounds of the world. So today I claim that love, I claim that joy, I claim that place of peace, of tenderness, of compassion that sustains me. I know that I am one with that one divine mind, as I know each of you are. As we breathe that in, feeling that presence, knowing it is right there. I'm so grateful for this time together, for this life, for this knowing of truth, of knowing the truth of who I am, that divine essence. So I let these words go into that law that says yes, that responds back to my word with conviction. I let it be, I let it go, and ask you to join me in saying, and so it is.